Kind of. It's my own deal. It's Salsa Rodriguez. It's good that we can share with each other. And you know, it was funny because I know Marnay had made a comment, salsa for Thanksgiving. Hey, there's benefits to having a member of your congregation that has a background like that. We would always have that for the snacks because just the dinner wasn't enough. I wanted to start with the Advent and this amazing little tradition that was started so long ago. The Advent, of course, means the coming, the expected coming, really, is kind of the implication that's there. It's knowing that something's coming, but it's with an expectancy, and you have this expectancy. And it's part of my message, and the candle that we're going to name today, last week it was love, and I'm not sure what was shared, but I'm sure it was awesome. And so that one's already lit, and we're going to light the second candle to acknowledge the second that, you know, the second week of Advent, maybe. And the name that I've chosen to give this, and it's going to be part of the message, and that's why I don't have the specific verse that I'm going to read it, because part of the message. And the candle, as I thought about it was actually on the drive here when I was plowing through that stuff. And I was trying to remember not to get all stiff and too rigid to be able to relax and drive like that in that kind of condition. But I spent a lot of time in prayer. Okay, passing those trucks on those little narrow roads that are up there getting through there. You spend a lot of time in prayer. Okay, God, I'm just going to relax and trust you in this. But the message that kept coming to me and everything that transpired there at in Phoenix, it was an amazing thing. And so I've chosen to name the second candle Esperanza. Esperanza, hope. Because that is the thing that everything hinges upon is hope. A people and a person without hope is a person that gives up. And as I thought about everything that took place, there's so many things I want to share with you, but it would take way too much time that happened while we were there. But the amazing thing was, is while we were there, it was I was getting ready to go, and I was still here in town, and my brother texted me, and he said Thea just passed away. They had just notified him. My mom, when she went to go see her sister, she had slipped into a coma, and as her brothers and sisters were arriving, my aunt was recognizing the voice, and she would open her eyes and was able to share. And so she got to share some things with my mom, because that's why my mom went. She had talked to her about a month before that and said, I really have something I need to share with you. And so mom was able to do that. But it was also very difficult. That's what caused my mom to have this heart attack, the stress of it. She said, seeing my aunt in that condition was like being with your dad again the day before he died. I just saw the same thing, and I just couldn't deal with it. I wasn't ready for that. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I knew that she was in her last days, but I just wasn't ready for that. And of course, God worked out all things so that this heart attack would happen in that place. But the thing that got her through this, and it was a Thursday when we finally were able to share with my mother that her sister had passed away. You see, in this whole time that she was there, she didn't know. She wasn't sure. She was sure, but she wasn't sure. Because my aunt had told her that she was ready. She was tired. You see, what I haven't shared with you is my aunt was a quadriplegic. She lost the use of her body. And the reason why hope was the title of this message for me and the title or the name for the Esperanza is the name of the candle. The reason is because my aunt, when she was expressing these things, was able to tell people, I'm tired. Tired of the pain. Tired of the struggle. I'm tired, and you women would know this more than men, I'm tired of not being able to hold my grandchildren. I'm tired, and it's just so beat up, and I'm just so tired. The subtitle of my message, the message of the title is God of Hope, and I've subtitled it, I know, praise God, hamiho. I know, praise God, hamiho. What I experienced was there, and what my mom experienced was, it was that many days had gone by. My aunt had passed away on early Monday morning. And so Thursday had come, and mom wasn't sure. And on Thanksgiving, that was the first time when we were there that we got a chance to be together as a family. And mom was pretty along. She was doing pretty well. My sisters had tried to tell her the day before, but they had her on Percocets and such a strong dose that she was asking the very next morning some of my other aunts and my cousins about her sister. And they called the alarm. I thought you guys told her. We didn't know what to say. We were frozen in our steps. I said, well, they did. They told her. She just probably just didn't register. And we were there, and gathered as a family, and as we got to spend time, mom was clear-headed. Some of the pain had subsided, which I don't know how she's dealing with it. I mean, that scar that she has now is just, she's got this big zipper, this open wound right here. And she was more concerned about her sister. And so we determined, the five of us, my siblings and myself, that, you know, we really need to tell mom. We can't keep her guessing like this, because that's going to eat at her more than anything. And I told them even before she went into the surgery, I was telling my brothers, I see it in her face, guys. I see mom. I recognize she wants to know. I know the doctor doesn't want her to know, but she wants to know. And I think that's going to make it harder for her, because that's just the way mom is. And I say all that to, we finally expressed that. And when we told her, mom, you know, we just want you to know. And I shared with her, mom, we just want you to understand. Because we know that under these pain meds and under all these things, that you weren't grasping it. But we want you to know that Thea has passed away. That she did pass away. And the reason for the name Hope, and the reason for the message, A God of Hope, is part of it is a response, my mom, in that bed, on her back, with her children around her, trying to explain to her about her dearest sister. That's the sister that she was close to. They talked every day. And she, from that bed, raised up her hand and said, praise God. Praise God, my sister is now doing what she said she was going to, what she shared with me. She goes, I talked with your tia before she passed away, and when I was expressing to her that it's okay to let go and to let it happen, because then you can be running on the streets of gold. She goes, no. Oh, no. She goes, no, you don't understand. She said, when I'm ready to go, and when I'm gone, when I get there on the other side, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And he's going to pick me up off my useless legs, and I'm going to dance in the arms of Jesus. That's what I know is going to take place. And so when we told my mom and confirmed that, she was able to lift up her hand. Praise God, she's dancing with Jesus now, even where she's at, on those streets. She's praising the Savior in ways that we could never imagine. You know, God, in His sovereignty, He has provided for us everything that we will ever need. I came across this story that's really sad, but it's really something that is happening today in our world. And I'm going to kind of shift gears here for just a second. And I shared that with you. That's where this name was. My aunt had this hope. And because my aunt had this hope, and my mom knows the same hope, she had hope. I know that I'm going to pass away, but I'm going to be more alive than you'll ever be until that happens. She knew that. She recognized that. And she was basing it upon something that was something that you could grab hold of. That faith that God had given her. You see, in all the years that my aunt was there on that bed suffering from the pain, I subtitled this message, I Know, Praise God, Hamijo. When I first got saved, I remember sharing with my aunt. She had come up to Idaho and was sharing with her the things that God was doing in my life. I was one of the few children of my mother that had come to know Christ at that time. And I was able to share with my aunt these things. And one of the things that she said over and over again as you were trying to express these things, she would just look at you with this beautiful smile and just, I know, praise God, Hamijo. That was her refrain. And to one of my other cousins, what they remember is, I know, praise be to God, Hamija. Praise be to God. She didn't sit and dwell on the pain. She didn't sit and dwell of the troubles of this world. She didn't sit and let the things that she couldn't do, the things that she was unable to do, she didn't sit and dwell on those things. She sat there and spent an awful time, a lot of time alone, a lot of time that you and I will never, may never, ever understand. She had a lot of time alone. She had a lot of time to be in the presence of the Almighty, because that's all she had. There were times when hours would go by and nobody would come and check on her. She didn't complain. She didn't sit and dwell on that. She didn't sit and rest in this mire, in this muck, in this mud. She rather put her thoughts, her heart, and her life in the hope that she knew. The hope that was to come and the hope that was because of who Jesus is. And she trusted in Him through this whole thing. She didn't rely on all the pain meds and all the other things. And when things didn't get done, she didn't sit and complain about it. They would come and they would find her all soiled and things like that. She had every right to complain. She had every right. Where were you? Why didn't you come and see me? You're supposed to be checking on me every half hour to make sure this doesn't... She didn't. She'd go, oh, thank God you're here. Praise God. That was her attitude. That was her attitude. It shames me when I really think about it, that with all the blessings that I have, that I enjoy, that I don't spend all day long just praising Jesus, just praising Him for all that we have. And that's the message of hope. And Christ is the only one that brings that hope. That when we're overwhelmed and when even in the condition that my aunt was in, that there is hope, that there always is hope. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and for your grace. Thank you for this time of year. Whether it's it would have been this in the winter or in the spring or in the fall or in the summer. The day that we celebrate your birth, your coming. We thank you, Lord, that all year long, we even in January, we start thinking, man, it's going to be Christmas soon. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us something to look forward to, a picture of hope, of things to look forward to. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that only comes from you. And without you, there is no hope. There is no hope for mankind. There is no hope for the lost sinner. There is no hope for the blind, for the crippled, for the hungry and the needy. There is no hope for the desperate and the depressed. There's no hope if it weren't for you. And in this place, in this little building, amongst my brethren, I'm going to praise you in the congregation. I thank you that we can lift up our hearts to you in thanks. in thanksgiving and in praise, that we can lift up our voices and our hands and our hearts, that we can lift up our eyes and cry out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that you hear from on high, and that you give attention to those prayers. And even in the things that we're struggling with, when we come to you, you do not turn away. A smoldering wick, you don't snuff out. A bruised reed, you won't break. Tender is your love towards us. Merciful is your kindness that is everlasting. We thank you, Lord, here in this place, for hope, esperanza, that you have given. Thank you, Lord, for all these things and for more. In Jesus' name. In the message of hope, there's referred to an article, and the headline reads this: in Syria, Melkite Greek Catholic patriarch says Muslims killed three Christians for refusing to convert to Islam. That was just last week. Our brothers and sisters in these ancient places where Christianity in the first century took hold, where this new message of hope first came to be. The sad thing is in this story, as it reads out, and if you want, I'm not going to go into great detail. I have a copy of it, and you can. There's a site where I can direct you to find it. But in this community, this group of Christians, the Christian that was killed, the brother that was killed, it was his best friend, who was still a Muslim. Imagine that. Imagine sharing Christ with somebody like that who has a different belief system than you, and calling you friend, and calling you brother, and having that type of a relationship, only to, when pressed in upon, and when not willing to convert. This is Syria. This is the ancient cities where your friend not only turns on you, it's not just talking behind your back. Convert to Islam or die, and then paying the price for it. This man and children that wouldn't, their neighbors were the ones who took their lives. This is the way that it's going to be. This is the way that it is now. And while our government supports those, the fractions that support this, that's the sad thing. And I say that even in those circumstances, these brothers and sisters have hope. They didn't let go of that hope. No, that hope drove them. And as it says in the book of Revelation, that their voice will be quieted for a while, but there's going to come a time when God will avenge, because God is the great avenger. They didn't let the things of this world, the distractions of this world, interfere with their hope that they have in Christ because of Christ and who He is. They held on to that. Literally with their lives. Not just like us here who say that. They literally held on to that hope with their lives. And they paid the dearest price that they could. They didn't give up that hope. And you know, that hope that began, the verse that I want us to focus on is in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 9. And it's appropriate for this time of the year. Like my aunt, who was so full of hope, because she knew that when she passed away. In fact, I got a chance to share. I was at a bank, and I was doing a transaction, and I got to talk with the checker behind the teller that was behind the desk, the counter. And she noticed that I was from out of state. Oh, I see that you're from out of state. I said, yeah. She goes, oh, well, you're here visiting for Thanksgiving? I said, well, kind of. I said, that wasn't the intended. You know, it wasn't planned. And I let her know what happened. My mom came and saw her sister and had a heart attack. And a couple days later, my aunt passed away. And she just looked at me kind of like, too much information. Overload. I wasn't expecting that. But what she couldn't get was the smile on my face. What she couldn't understand was, you know, well, I'm so sorry. I said, no, that's okay. I said, because let me tell you, when my aunt passed away, she's now in the arms of Jesus. And not only that, I said, now with all the stuff that's going on here, she doesn't even remember her sorrow. How could you in the face of Christ? It would just pale in comparison. There's no even recognition of it, I would think. Just looking into the face of Jesus and seeing Him in all His glory. I said, she doesn't even remember us right now. She doesn't remember all this stuff. I know, I don't think I would. My mind would be in eyes to be able to look upon the one in whom you've hoped for so long. Was finally realized. And God in His sovereignty and God in His love towards us, God in His manifesting Himself and wanting to for us to know who He is, He gives little glimmers of hope along the way. In Isaiah 9, chapter verse 6 is my focus. And we'll read Isaiah chapter 9. Our focus is verse 6. And this is the reason for the hope. Because God said, look, all these things are going to happen. All these things are going to take place. They're going to transpire. This is just the way that it is. And you will have to suffer these things. But He said, for a child will be born. And the prophet Isaiah was expressing this. For unto us a child will be born. A son will be given to us, for unto us a son will be given. A child will be born. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of hope to begin with. Yeah. Child is being born. Hello. Yeah, that's neat and all, life and the mystery and the whole magic of it and the, you know, just amazing. But were it not for Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. God had already begun in the beginning to lay down these little nuggets of hope. Adam, you've fallen. Adam, you've disobeyed. This is the price that you're going to have to pay. Death has come into the world because of you and what you've done. But for a child will be born to us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You see, he began, before Isaiah spoke it, he had already spoken it for the sake of hope. In Genesis 15, God chose Abraham and laid down hope. He laid down a hope with him. He informed him that his progeny would suffer slavery for 400 years. He told him ahead of time, I'm going to give you many children. And they're going to go into slavery. 400 years. 400 years. This was after what I spoke last 2 weeks ago when I was, or 3 weeks ago, I guess now, when I spoke last of that sacrifice that was done where they split the heifer in two. And right before they passed through this sacrifice, God told Abraham this. I'm going to give you children and they're going to come back here after 400 years of slavery. then they're going to be set free. Hope. I'm going to give them, and they're going to return to this land of promise that I've told you about after they've been set free from slavery. It also says in Genesis 37 through, this is chapter 37 through 50, talks about Joseph. What greater picture of hope does God have there? What greater explanation of hope? Here you have a kid who is disliked and even hated by his own brothers, so much so that they're, let's devise a way to get rid of this brat, man. Can you imagine? And he ends up in a foreign place with a foreign tongue, has no idea what's going on. He's been sold into slavery. And all the while, he hoped in God. All the while, he held on to this hope. And in the end, you know the end of the story, when he finally reveals himself to his brother after all that had happened and taken place. After spending time in prison, after being accused of trying to rape his master's wife, and all these things. And even then, he held on to hope. What you meant for evil, the famous line, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. You see, there was hope. Even though I couldn't see in the midst of it and I didn't dwell on it, I knew that there was hope because I know this God whom I serve. I know that dream that he gave me that said that one day I was going to be used in this way. And that's another reason why his brothers were angry with him. How dare you say that we're going to bow to you? Who in the world do you think you are? Even his dad. Oh, wait a minute. He held on to that hope. God had showed him ahead of time. And perhaps even, I don't know, maybe he knew that he was going to suffer. I don't know. But I do know this, in the midst of the suffering, the thing that he kept holding on to was the God of hope. And he held on to it. I don't know what you're struggling with today, but whatever it is, are you looking to the God of hope? Are you looking to the one who said, in this world you have tribulation? In this world you have tribulation. It's part of the deal. And even more so for the Christian, because we're a peculiar people. I was sharing with this morning how I'm a peculiar guy. When I went and stayed with my cousin, who was so gracious and hospitable, she didn't have the, and you guys know how much I like coffee. I love me some coffee. And when I got there, she didn't have a coffee maker, and so she went and bought one, but she forgot to buy the coffee. And it's okay. I got up and went out to my car. You see, because when I travel, I bring my own coffee beans, and I bring my own grinder. And I even bring my own water, because I drink spring water, and that's all I drink. And my brother, in between, when I was going outside, told my cousin, she goes, I'm so sorry, I forgot to buy the coffee. I'm not used to this. And my brother goes, "Yeah, don't worry about it." See, my brother brings his own. He's kind of weird like that. You know, like, because I already had my water inside their house. And he goes, "You know, kind of like he brings his water." She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "He brings his own coffee? What's the matter with that guy?" Well, it's the same thing for Christians. We're strange and peculiar because we have different beliefs. We have different ideas. They're not part of the world ideas, nor should they be. They're to be separate. They're to be different. We're supposed to. We're supposed to want to protect life because of what life is. It's precious to God. Because God is the God of life. He's not the God of death. He's the God of life. And the world is kind of going a different way. There's a reason why we should love holiness and righteousness, even though the world wants to go its own way. Even in the early 19th century, when this whole shift started to begin to happen and started catching more traction of rejecting God and jettisoning him out of everything, including public life and the world, even in our country as we know it, started shifting, started getting away from God and who God is. God is still in the business of providing hope, even when we're in the struggle, even when we're in the midst of it, even when we're struggling with these things spiritually, even when we're stumbling day after day after day, and we're wanting to say, God, where are you? God, why aren't you healing me? God, why aren't you listening? God, why aren't you doing something? It's because we've forgotten hope. We've lost sight of our hope. We've lost sight of it. And I've been guilty of that, even recently. And I had to remind myself, no, no, no. I can overcome because of who He is. Because He's already overcome. And He dwells in me. And that's enough. And I just got to believe it. Soul, you need to get with the program. And you need to understand that. You need to grasp hold of that fact. That you are an overcomer. And you can overcome because He has already overcome. And He who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Always, every time, every day, every moment, He is the one by whom I can overcome. And I have to trust that by faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 16, God again was right there, right on the edge, right on the boundary line of the Jordan River, where they were about ready to cross into this new existence, this new life, after 40 years of wandering. God had just laid down a bunch of curses. He had just laid down everything that was going to tragically happen to them because of their disobedience. And it wasn't something that He was just saying, this might happen. He said, this is going to happen. It's already set in stone. Because God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And He said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be disobedient. And this is going to be the cost. Moses, as he was explaining all these things and writing about these things, he shared with them this: the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. For your countrymen, you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. God was letting them know, look, you're going to go through this. In this world, you have tribulation. In this world, this is going to happen. But I'm going to raise for you a prophet from among your countrymen so that you can have hope. He was always giving hope, even with these things that were going to happen. They weren't things that He was expressing that might happen. They were going to happen. And I think that shows God's love towards us. That He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to give up hope. Because there's always hope. In Isaiah, He told them to look for a sign. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign in the midst of all this stuff, when all these things are happening, when you don't think that it's possible. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel. Being translated, God with us. It's going to be His name, Jesus, God who saves. He will eat curds and honey at the time He knows enough to refuse evil or choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. So the kings that they dreaded, He was saying, there's hope. A child Remember, why is there hope? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this is what he says. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says this, starting in verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Can anything good come from there? There's nothing written about anybody coming from Galilee. Really? Not what it says right there. Something glorious is coming. In verse 2, he says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. I want you to stop and think about that. Close your eyes and picture yourself walking around in darkness. Pitch dark. You can't see anything. There's a commercial that's out right now that says how amazing the human eye is, and that if you were to darken every single thing for 10 miles and just have one of these 10 miles away, that the eye can see it. 10 miles away in a straight shot in pitch darkness, you can see that one little candlelight. It says here in verse 2 that the people who walk in darkness, imagine that, will see a little light. They're going to see a great light. They're going to see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. Right now we're living in a dark land. We need that light. We need that light to shine. We need to see that light. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence as with the gladness of harvest. And I can't help but think of those little children, how they, that Jesus just brought when he came, this hope, this child who was born, this son who was given, how when he walked on this earth, how the children flocked to him. There's something special about children when they recognize that somebody's not there to harm them, and how they're drawn to them, and how they have that interaction. They see this great light, and they're drawn to them. And he says that they will be glad in his presence as with the gladness of harvest. What's amazing about harvest? Winter's coming, but guess what? I got food. We're going to get through this. Let's rejoice. Let's be thankful. So I love Thanksgiving because it is that time to give thanks and remember those things, to be thankful for everything. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Have you ever come across something and just go, wow? Have you ever been walking down the street and you find a dollar and how you go, whoa, sweet! Just a dollar.
No way.
Yeah. God loves me, man. He really loves me. There's a dollar. How much more when this great light, after you've been walking in darkness, when you see, I remember when I was saved and what a great light it was, how amazing it was, and how it changed my life. Even though I was in the midst of struggle, there was hope. He says, for thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot on the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. He's going to set you free. There's hope because this is what he's come to do, to set the oppressor free. Are you oppressed today? Press into that hope. Grab hold of that hope. Whatever you're struggling with, because, why? Because, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's why there's hope. That's why my aunt had esperanza. That's why she had hope. That's why when we go to a funeral of somebody who's a believer, we don't mourn as those who are lost. We don't mourn as those who don't know Christ. We rejoice. We mourn the loss. We miss them and wish that they were here. But we rejoice, we have hope, because we know that Jesus said these words. He asked a question, and then, to finish the question, he finished it with this. Do you believe this? Do you know the question? Do you know the question that he asked? We have hope because of the one who came, the one that we can celebrate even this time of the year, and we can grab on to that hope. That question that Jesus asked. That statement that he made, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. There's our hope. There's the hope that the believer holds on to at the time of their passing. There's the hope that people look forward to, knowing that I'm going to die, I'm going to pass away, and I wish I could have done all these other things, but you know what? I got Jesus to go to. I've got a kingdom to go to. I've got a home to go to. I've got eternal life to continue, only now I get to see it with my own eyes. As Job said, in my flesh, with my own eyes, I will yet see my Redeemer, and I know that He lives. And in the same way, we have that hope. And that's what this time of the year means, is beginning more to mean to me, is hope. It's because of hope. It's because of His love and the great love that He showed. Love enough to tell us, yeah, you're going to go through trouble. The people are going to be taken away. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be sought after. But I love you enough to tell you that ahead of time. Don't lose hope. Grasp onto that hope. Know that you are loved. One of the amazing other things that happened while we were there in Arizona is my cousin that we stayed with is the one we, when my mom got sick in Idaho, she was the one that prayed to receive Christ last year. And we got to share with her so many different things, and she had so many questions. And I was able to share with her so many truths. And we got to share with my aunt's families our memories of our aunt. And so many of them are believers. And they were encouraged. You remember that about Mom? Yes. This is what I remember. Sharing with her these things when I talked with her on the phone, and she would always refrain, I know. Praise God. Hamiho. She knew the hope. I don't know what you guys are dealing with. I don't know what all struggles are being dealt with. But like these believers who gave up their life, even in that giving up of life, there is hope. Like my aunt who passed on, and those believers who's gone on before, they have hope because of what is written in this word, because of what is written in this book, because of this time of the year that we can choose to celebrate this hope and share that hope with everyone that we can come in contact with. It was amazing how many times over and over and over again at the hospital, in the elevators, at the stores, wherever we were at, that we were able to shine the light when you have brothers and siblings that have the same belief systems. And we were there, and we all knew that we were there for a purpose. You see, many of my aunts and my uncles are lost. They're alcoholics. They're hopelessly lost. Except we know that there's hope. We know that there's hope. And we got to share. And they got to see something that they don't get to see all the time. You see, the rest of the family that are still lost, they were out partying, drinking, doing all their things. And they saw our family together, loving one another, and sharing Christ with as many people as we could. They got to see something that they don't get to see every day. And they marvel at it. And they tell my mom, "Man, your family's different. Your family is different. You and Steve did right. You guys did good." And my mom and my dad, my family, we're the least of these. But they look at our family and they go, "Wow, you guys did something right." You know the amazing thing? Mom is beginning to heal. And one of the things I was able to share with her is, "Mom, you're here for 4 months. It's not a coincidence. Your brothers and sisters need you, and they need to hear the word of God." And it was in hope that she took that and received it. And she said, "I know. Praise God. Hamil." And that's the hope that we grab onto. That's the hope that the world cannot offer. Nothing else can offer it except for God. He is the only one that gives that hope. What hope are you looking to? I hope and pray that you're holding on to this hope even in the midst of your struggle, even in the midst of your sadness, even in the midst of your pain, of your struggles, even in the midst of all these things, that you're grasping onto this hope and overlooking. Because when you grasp and you grab hold and you focus in like a laser on this hope, nothing else matters. And then we begin to do what Jesus has said. We began to carry that cross. "Hey, I'm dead. This isn't my life anyways. This isn't my time anyways. This isn't me anyways. I don't belong to me. I was bought with a price that I could never repay. I belong to somebody. I'm a slave and should act like one. I should be a servant like I'm supposed to be, because this isn't my life. It doesn't belong to me. And that's my hope. And that's my hope that I will one day be there to live that way, like a slave who's been set free to be a slave of love and of hope for others." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your glorious love and for your glorious hope that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that you told us things ahead of time and told your people ahead of time so that they would not despair, and when they did, that they would remember that if they would just come to you. The God who cares, the God who seeks, the God who loves, the God who sets free, the God who desires relationship and who desires to adopt sons and daughters of his own, to be called by his name, to give hope, to give them rest, to give them that peace. Lord, thank you for all these things that we can celebrate this time of the year, the esperanza that we have, the hope that we have in you. Thank you so much for all of this and more. And we pray, Lord, that you would use your word to draw people's hearts to you. Draw those who have never come so that they would come and bow their hearts to you. They would bow their knees, lift up their hands, and praise you and thank you for all that you have done, and realize that hope and live by hope in faith. For your name's sake and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.